In your presence and with your word. And your word is life. Your word sustains us and it keeps us. And Lord, I pray that we will not only mix faith with that, with what we hear, but also that we may be doers and not just hearers of the word. Father, help us not to make the mistake that Israel made, where they never mixed faith with that which they heard, because they rebelled, they questioned, they argued. Lord, help us to have that simple, childlike faith to simply believe that engrafted word. We ask now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to speak today about the reasons why we are baptized in the Holy Spirit. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit is to really work that hunger. So our hunger today, which I'm going to speak about, is by the Holy Spirit. Our spiritual hunger is by the Holy Spirit, and that's what we're calling this today. How do we know this? Well, Matthew 5 and verse 6, which we all know very well, says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be filled. Now, there is the principle of hungering. It's not just hungering for God. There are many who hunger for God. There are many religions around the world that will tell you that they're hungry and they're zealous for God. But that isn't what it tells us there. It's not enough. There are many gods. There are many religions. There are many concepts and ideas of what man thinks God is. But God has revealed himself through the word of God. And the hunger that he says to those that will be filled is that they hunger for a righteous life. And that makes a difference. What do we mean by righteous life? It means that I am simply right with God. I'm in right standing. God's presence is with me. I'm in fellowship with him. The Holy Spirit is with me, in me, through me. He leads me, he teaches me, he guides me. This is what we mean by being righteous. And then of course, our acts, our fruit of the Spirit, should be righteous. Our love for each other should be a righteous love. Not a love that is motivated for a purpose and a reason like the love so much of the world is. So those that hunger and will continue to hunger are those who are hungering for that righteous life, to maintain, to keep right with God. Because that is the test of the Christian walk. And it's interesting that if you were to ask many believers what it is to hunger, you would be surprised with many of the replies that you would get with this. Often they associate hungering for God by being busy, doing a lot of works, doing a lot of church work. That's some of the concepts or ideas of what they think of being hungry and righteous for God. Often, sadly, it's those that have a shallow consecration who are very, very busy. They often have a shallow consecration. They're so busy that they can't really feed the inner man for that righteous life, because they think it's by their works that they please God, you see. And so it can go on, but you see, this righteous life that we're going to talk about today is an inward work of the Holy Spirit producing the fruit of the Spirit in my life. And the fruit of the Spirit in my life is essential to help us, to encourage us, and to continue to walk in a righteous life. If you are not producing fruit, or your fruit is being hindered, then the door is open in your life for oppression from the enemy. And this is what often happens. And in time, because fruit is not being born any longer, then you get professing Christians start to go back. We have to continue to bear fruit. And the Holy Spirit knows how to work and get us to bear that fruit. We are now beginning to see harvest time. We're seeing what the summer, spring, summer has produced. And now the harvest is coming in. And we see it by fruit, that the farmers bringing in the corn, the wheat and so forth. All the harvest is being brought in now at the end of the season. And that tells us what sort of season we have had. Now I'm told that this year is a good season. The harvest for everything. And it is. So that tells us something, that we have had a good summer. We've had pretty good weather, which we've had. And the result of it is we've got the harvest. We've got it all there. We see it. Now, for us, the overcomers, who are sitting under an end-time message of faith and the deeper life, we should be bringing in the fruit in our lives. But it's not going to come if we are not hungering. And you see, the enemy likes to get in, and he likes to try and stop you hungering for that righteous life. And he can do it, of course, in so many ways, which we will look at. We all of us have need of bearing fruit, because it's by the fruit we are seen. It has to visibly be seen sooner or later. You can't keep a Christian walk all spiritual, which sadly so many professing Christians do. It's just all a spiritual thing. It has to be also seen. Christ has to be seen in this world of darkness. He has to be seen in our lives, in our walk, in our confession, in our acts, the way we live every day. That is the fruit bearing. When they see the fruit in you, they are seeing Christ, you see. And that is why the baptism of the Holy Spirit is so essential for believers, because that empowerment is ultimately to produce fruit. And this, of course, is where it's gone so wrong amongst the charismatic. They simply stop at the baptism of the Spirit and think they've got that empowerment. They can speak in tongues, lay hands on the sick, and that is it. And sing in the Spirit. That is just simply part of it. And that, of course, is where the enemies got in and corrupted it. They have failed to see that the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the outpouring of the Spirit, which Joel speaks of in this last days, is ultimately that we may bear fruit. And to bear fruit, it means that you daily take up your cross and follow Christ. You see. It's that we decrease that he increases. We die daily in that sense that Christ is manifested in my life. And that manifestation is the fruit of the Spirit. They are the perfect fruits of the Spirit within the Holy Spirit. Those seven fruits. That is the perfection of Christ. When you see those seven fruits, you are seeing Christ in his perfection. It is a sign that you are right with God and you walk in that righteousness. Because that righteousness, for us, is a spiritual confidence. That righteousness, for us, is our empowerment. It means that God is with me, and God is doing it through me. And so when you walk daily by the Spirit and not by the flesh, you have that complete confidence, knowing that whatever's happening, whatever you face, whatever needs, whatever, Christ in you is meeting those needs by my righteous life that I stand in him. That is our confidence. That is our boldness. That is the empowerment. And yet so much of Christendom today have got it so wrong. They think because they speak in tongues and that they've got a big church and they lay hands on the sick, that's the empowerment. It isn't. That's why so very little happens. It's all froth and bobble. It's by the fruit that we bear. It's as we hunger for this righteous life that we will be filled. So there's the promise. Do you feel down? Do you feel as though you're not going to make it in? Do you feel depressed? All those things that can affect us at times. Keep hungering. Just keep with that, because that is working that righteous life within you. You know, one of the things I've said to God, and I confess it, Father, keep me hungering. Never let me become complacent. I need to hunger for more and more of you and your presence, because that's working righteousness in my life. You go through those Beatitudes. It's all there for the Christian walk. So very simply laid out that we actually miss it. You see, without this hunger, the baptism in the Spirit won't work in itself to bring that desire for spiritual growth and development. A lot of people miss what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for. The baptism, which is an extra experience, and I'm not going into this today because we've got a lot of Christians who believe when saved you are baptized in the Holy Spirit. You are not baptized in the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit, but you do not have the Spirit in baptismal form. That comes as another experience. The analogy that we often give to this is when you are saved, Christ is with you. When you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, he's now in you. And I might add, the book of Acts shows us that we also had another experience with the Holy Spirit. So there are many experiences and fillings that you can have with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Again, the confusion, lack of teaching, and so on. But the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Spirit, is actually to work that hunger for a righteous life, to go deeper. And to go deeper, this is why we teach the deeper life, you need to be empowered for this. And this empowerment is a daily empowerment. It's not just a one-off thing, which it is, but it should be a continual empowerment, a continual infilling. You can never, in the infilling of the Holy Spirit, he will ever dry up. Never. It is ever flowing, like a river. It is always constantly there for us to have more and to go deeper with God. This is why we preach the deeper life, that the deeper life is that spiritual open door to go in and walk in the Spirit as far as you want to go with God. It's endless. Because in the Spirit, there's no beginning, no end. And yet, many miss this and don't see it. Yet it's there in the Word of God. And not and above all, it is our experience. That is the point, you see. So, it's to bring out that spiritual growth. Because we need that spiritual growth, don't we, to become sons of God. How are we going to grow otherwise? We won't. This is why so many in churches remain babes, immature, never grow up, you see. What does it say in Psalm 1 and verse 2? You all know this very well, I know. But let's read this because I think it's applicable to what we're talking about in Psalm 1 and verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And it goes on, he'll be like a tree that's planted by the rivers and so on. Hungering for that righteous life. It's his delight, our delight is in the word of God that feeds us, that encourages us, that points us in the right direction for that righteous life. If we don't have a teaching today about this righteous life, how are we going to know about a righteous life? It's the word of God that always points us in those right directions. And as we ask of God, so he gives. You can get believers who can listen to a word like this and yet never ask from God. As James said, you have not because you ask not. You ask amiss. Very often the word of God and listening to the word of God is in many ways to provoke you into asking, to make you desperate, to stir you up, to get you asking more from God. That's also what the word of God should do in its preaching and delivery. Because human nature will rest on its laurels. Human nature will always look for excuses or a way out and so on. That's the world. So it's hungering for this righteous life. You see, the promise to those that hunger, as I've said, they will be filled. Now what will you be filled with? More of yourself? More of your knowledge and understanding of the Word of God? No. Filled with that righteous life. Filled with the one who is righteous. No sin found in him at all. The one who is in your life, who stands now in your place, that is that righteous life that is accepted in God's presence. But to maintain that righteous life, you have to continue to be filled, walking daily with God. This is so essential, brothers and sisters. You see, your hungering won't be in vain. to those who hunger and thirst, for those who long for a righteous life. It's not going to be in vain. Quite the contrary. God is probably going to answer your prayer quicker than you think. If you're saying yes and amen to this word today, and say yes, amen, this is just what I need. Well, as you're responding to that, God's working that hunger within you for more. Because it never runs out. It's a river that never runs dry. Let's turn to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, verses 1 to 5. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 1 to 5, he says, "Oh, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat." Yes, come, buy. What does it say to the wealthy, those that have got money, got a good bank balance and everything? You're the ideal ones to come. No, it says you haven't got any money. You're absolutely a pauper. You're completely poor. But he says, come and buy. What's he meaning by that? He's meaning those who are poor in spirit. Those who acknowledge that whatever your status, whatever your background, whatever your education, whatever your colour, whatever, as far as my soul, my spirit goes, I am in complete poverty and I am totally dependent upon you, Lord. And you're saying I can buy of this freely. What a good message, eh? So he says, "And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk and without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. The sure mercies of David, indeed I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader, the commander for the people. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you." It's all about him. It's what it is. It's all about him. God saved Israel to glorify his name. That's ultimately what it is. And they failed him. They didn't want God's name glorified through them. Because God gave them a choice. Which God do you want? Do you want the God of self or me to be glorified? You decide. That's why man fell into, how he fell into sin. What did sin do? Sin opened his eyes that he's a God. That's what it is. And God never wanted man to have that choice, to decide on that. She's all right. And so we have chosen to surrender the God of self for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And on that basis, we receive eternal life. That is what is ultimate in it is, you see. What does it say in Revelation chapter 22? Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. Revelation 22, verse 17. "And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him who hears say, come. Let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely." It's all about hungering. Do you hunger today? That's the question. And only you can answer that. Because there it is, right at the end. Those that will make it in, those that will be part of the bride of Christ, are there because they thirst and hunger for it. That's why. And that is why God makes your conditions, your life, to hunger and thirst. What do you do when you live in a desert? One of the first things you have to think about living in a desert, where do we get water? That is why in the desert, water is so precious. I've been to these places, I've been to these countries, and they regard water as very sacred. Because there's not a lot of it. In this Western world that we live in, certainly in the United Kingdom, we're spoilt with it. Because we get a lot of it. Well, take that over to the spiritual. You've got a lot of professing Christians, they've got everything, they've got all the amenities, they run to the arm of the flesh and avoid all their trials. Never had it so good. There's no hungering and thirsting. But if you decide to walk this walk with God, one of the first things he's going to do is he's going to bring you out spiritually into the wilderness. Because the wilderness sorts it all out. The wilderness makes you thirst more for God. That water. That's what it does. Your trials that you're going through, your trials that you went through this week, your trials that we may face next week, are all designed purposely to make you thirst for more. God knows how to do it. And that's why the enemy tries to get in and get you to compromise. Because if he can stop you thirsting, he stops you from maturing and growing with God. He's a master. He knows how to do it. It's only the thirsty who are invited to drink. That's what it says there. And before you can be filled with God, you first have to see you are empty. And how do we see that we are empty? By the cross that we take up daily and we follow him. You can't be filled if you're not empty. You can't be filled if it's all full of you, yourself. How can it be? That is why when man fell, I said, his eyes were open to see he's a God. And God never wanted us to see that. Never wanted us to see that. I say a God with a small g, by the way. So, you're going to be filled when you see you are empty. And that is why we teach the deeper life, we teach the way of the cross, because the cross empties you of self. It deals with self that so often gets in the way. And so then you can be filled with that righteous life, the life of Christ. Doing the works of Christ, the works of the Spirit, and not the works of self and pride. You see, that is the difference. You see, when you have this spiritual hunger, you will never satisfy this hunger. Did you know that? If you truly got this spiritual hunger, it's never, ever going to be satisfied. It's compulsive. It's addictive. Sadly, you see, there are wrong hungers today in society. There are people who hunger for drugs, alcohol, various things, they're addictions. But they're a hungering. They're there, they can't live. That deception, that lie says you can't live without it. Well, that's a counterfeit of the enemy. The Holy Spirit should be working that spiritually within us. We just can't live without Christ. My life is totally meaningless. I cannot really fulfill and walk this day unless I meet with God. That's the hunger and thirst. My day doesn't work out if I haven't talked with my Lord. It just doesn't work out. It goes wrong. Why? Because I need that thirst. I need more of him that day. And I am pleased, I'm glad that that is in my life. Yet you've got people who can go days without talking with God and yet call themselves believers. And it doesn't bother them. No fuss, no bother. I don't understand that. I thank God for that. That I have that in my life. You see, you will never satisfy that hunger. You'll never satisfy hunger just having quick snacks. Or nibbling. Which a lot of people do. And that's why people have a weight problem. They're actually thinking by cutting down and just having a little snack, whatever it is going to help me to lose weight. It doesn't. We all need a decent meal a day. something that will sustain. And it's the same spiritually. That's why we need to come into surroundings like this. We need to come, get under this anointing, because we need to eat today to sustain us, to help us to go out in that world and overcome. You see, it's quite simple, really, the analogy. You see, you're never going to be sustained with food if you just go along to a lecture about food. I mean, you know, it's on television, almost every day there's a food program. And it's showing you how to cook food. New ideas, new recipes, and so on. Okay, it's fine, and they produce, and it looks wonderful. There's only one problem with that: I can't eat it. That's the letdown of it, isn't it? You know, those programs are such a letdown because they stimulate you to feel hungry, which sometimes they do. I mean, it looks absolutely wonderful. But the big downside of it is, I can't eat of it. I can only look at it. You see? And that's what so many do in churches today. So many today will just look at it, listen to it, but will never participate of it. It's a letdown. Well, brothers and sisters, we're here today to eat of this. It's if you want it. It's if you hunger and thirst for this. You see? This won't be a letdown like all these programs are. God can only fill us with his righteousness. And remember that. You cannot make yourself righteous. Righteousness is a gift given to us. It is Christ who stood in our place. Instead of guilty pronounced upon you, he said, no, remove that guilt. Place that guilt on me. I will pay for their guilt. And through him taking on our guilt, our sin, because he's righteous, there's no sin found in him, therefore that is imputed to you. It is given to you on a legal basis. You don't now have to try and be righteous, you are. You don't have to try and be a Christian, you are. And you take that by faith. And the sign that you have that is that you are hungering for more and more all the time. Because that has to be fed, that inner man. You see? It gives itself away, the signs. You know those who are and those who are not. You see? And that is why we go through the trials that we go through now as I bring this to a close. Because those trials, as I have said at the beginning, are to keep you hungering for more of God. You see, Israel failed that, didn't they? They did nothing but gripe and moan. They didn't want God's ways. What were they revealing? They were revealing that their lives were not right with God. You see? And so, you know the story, the history, God in the end let them perish. He had to give them up in the wilderness. Why? Because they didn't hunger for righteousness. Every trial, they moaned, they rebelled, they revealed that they had a hard heart, they were stiff-necked. Now, God allows us to go through trials to avoid that problem, to not make the sin that the children of Israel did. Our trials work that hunger within us to maintain that righteous life that has been imputed now to us in Christ. Amen? Amen. Amen. Father, again, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the fruit of this word. We thank you, Lord, that you are working that hunger within us. Help us, Father, not to hinder that in any way or form. but simply to believe that it's what we want, therefore it's what you're going to do. That the righteous life, our righteous life that we have with you, may feed the inner man. Father, please keep us hungering for more and more, we ask. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Alleluia, alleluia. And it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Alleluia, alleluia.
And Jesus is